Thanks, Bob, for that meditation. when I approach 60, I hope to approach 60. I will be that vulnerable and honest and open to ongoing change and growth. So thank you. That was an inspiration. Okay. What did we call this series? We called it David Dean's idea. Thank you very much, David. Be of value. Which has several meanings. You can hear them already. Be of value. I'd like to be of some value. And I'd like to be about values. And more than that, I'd like to be a person that is being in the world, not just thinking or saying I believe something, but acting in the world in a certain way. And the way our values are organized, they have, most of them, have concrete expressions of how you might live these out. And at least that's something we ought to be sort of wrestling a bit with. And I thought I'd begin just by mentioning a few things about maybe some questions around why we hold values in the first place as a community. And then I'll say a few things about common humanity, the first one, which will be our word or our value for the month. So let's do a drive through history of how we got here. And I wasn't present. I wasn't part of this community when many of you sat around and tried to ask the question, how do we identify ourselves? What keeps us together? And how did you get into such a scenario? And again, this is the drive-through version. Well, you quit being a church. And it forced us to wrestle with what kinds of things keep us together. And what I mean by quit being a church, I meant it just in the most straightforward sense. You sold your building, and you dropped your doctrine statements, and you left any sort of denominational affiliation, which you're perfectly free to do in the United States, by the way, perfectly legal, and still be a religious organization. But the things that keep religious organizations together, you decided, aren't going to be the things that are going to keep us together, which is usually a recipe for then you won't be together. That's usually how it goes. I've never heard of a community that decides to transition from so dramatically from a religious organization to an organization that is something other than that, without the whole thing unraveling and people just calling it quits. But here you are. How many years later? Someone tell me. 12? Okay. Thanks, Patty. 12 years later. So you did it. You're about to reach middle school, being 12 years old. Soon you'll be 13. And the way, as you know, most churches are organized is usually around statements of belief or denominational affiliation, which is the same thing, statements of belief. We believe these things. We believe these things. And if you want to be a part of our organization, you either have to believe them or, you know, I'm sure a lot of people in church cross their fingers and say, yes, we believe them. But more or less, that's the way it goes. So it creates a kind of challenging environment. All right, then how do we organize? Because if we just say, let's not believe anything, well, first of all, that's kind of a belief in the first place. And what the hell are you going to do at that point? Well, we'll just see what happens. So I think as a kind of foresight, wisdom, insight, something like that, the shared leadership here said, well, let's try to struggle through a value system that can help identify what's important to us. I'm going to read you the values in case you forgot or in case you're new or you're watching online or whatever. Here they are: common humanity, diversity, open inquiry, compassionate action, environmental sustainability, and well-being. Now, all of these need definitions, but that's not a bad attempt. It's still four less than the Ten Commandments, all right? And what's interesting about values in general is that, I suppose you could ask it as a question, are they beliefs or not? This is maybe something that you would want to discuss, or maybe we can discuss in talkback. But what I would like to suggest is that they're aspirational as much as they are beliefs that you might hold. So for example, we'll take common humanity. We respect the dignity and value of every individual. Well, that's something I might claim, but I don't always do. It's aspirational. There are lots of people I would prefer not to respect the dignity and worth of their individuality, if I'm very honest. Or if I'm put in certain circumstances, I find there are limits to that. So that's an interesting dimension to a community that holds values, because it keeps us in the fire, so to speak. Instead of saying, well, we believe that and we check it off mentally, we're constantly confronted with the fact that we don't live up to that all that well. Here's another point about values. That values are not flat. They're interconnected in some way, and sometimes they're in tension. I'll give you two that are in tension. We respect the dignity and value of every individual, common humanity, and we're about diversity. There are times when those two things are in tension. And you'll see why when we get into diversity. But think about it for a moment. We respect the dignity and value and worth of every human being. We believe in a common humanity. We believe in the individual. And we believe in diversity. And diversity, the way it's typically defined right now in the 2022, I almost forgot what year it was, is much more about statistical categories than anything else. Groups. We respect this group and that group and this group and that group. And there's something, so there's tension between groups and the individual. How much would you like to define yourself as part of a group? How much would you like to define yourself as an individual? All I'm saying is that there's not a battle that can ultimately be won. I'm saying there's tension. And that's true of all the values. They're in tension with one another. And we sometimes have to wrestle with what value is more important in the present situation than another. And again, that keeps our feet to the fire a little bit. If we respect the dignity and worth of every individual, and we assume that that individual has rights to be an individual, what if they act in a way that violates environmental sustainability? Then we have tension. So all I'm saying is that's not a problem. That's just one of the situations we get ourselves in by claiming we're a values-based community. I'm saying it's alive, it's active, it's constantly changing. If we really turn our attention to them, our own ideas are going to be challenged and changed, and we'll have to respond, and it's a very lively thing, in other words. By the way, this is not a new idea. Well, I just thought of two stories. And I've got time for one. Actually, it's a quotation from Jesus. So Jesus is asked by some teacher of the law, something like that, what's the greatest commandment? You probably know the answer to this. And by the way, Jesus doesn't answer it. He says, what do you think? It's very rabbinic. So he says, what do you think? And the man says, well, love God and love your neighbor. And you know what Jesus says? He says, you're right. Now, before we move on from this, love God and love your neighbor, they are creating within a system of whatever, I forget, 613 laws, something like that in the Torah. They're having the conversation of which ones are more important than others. And that was a huge rabbinic debate, if you want to know, but I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail. It was a big rabbinic debate. What values, we could even say, are more important than others? How do we rank these in a certain way so that we can act in the world? So, the teacher of the law says, love God and love your neighbor. And Jesus says, you're right. And then the man asked the best question ever. Who's my neighbor? Do you see how this all of a sudden makes things very concrete and very challenging? Because if you say, I believe in the dignity and worth of every human individual, and then you say, which ones? It's suddenly like, okay, now things are heating up. You mean I actually have to do that? What about the people I don't like or don't respect, or the ones I think that are dangerous for me and others in the world? So, you get my point. Okay. I don't want to go too long on a more broader conversation around values, but I'll add one thing here, which is the etymology of the word. Value, all the way back to Latin, means to be of worth. Okay, to be of worth. That's an interesting way of putting it, to be of worth. So that means you're saying some things are worth more than others. And that's one of the problems, especially how many of you are somewhat allergic to a word like, or to the reality of hierarchy? Anyone somewhat allergic to that? Okay? Well, this is a conversation we had in pre-talk, so we don't need to go deeply down this rabbit hole, but hierarchy has a bad reputation right now, but you could say it's also just the way things are. There are some things that are worth more than others. And just to have that conversation is a deeply human conversation. What things are worth more than others? I saw Van Gogh's painting of sunflowers in the London Museum when I was 17 years old. And it nearly knocked me over, really. I'm not kidding you. I was like, what is this thing? And really, millions of people have gathered to view this piece of artwork. It's worth something. Now, who decides what it's worth? Well, that's complicated. But it's definitely worth something. And even if we take monetary value out of it, it's obviously worth something because people are looking at it. I also have a painting that my daughter did in the basement. It's worth something, but to whom? If I put it up in the London Museum, well, people would go up to it because they would think, you know, people would try to pretend they're really clever and like, oh, what is this artist really doing here? You know, seems almost like a child's drawing, you know? How deep? But those who weren't being pretentious would say, that's crap, you know? Or they would say, it's less valuable than Van Gogh's painting of sunflowers. Why? Why? All I'm saying is, once you're in the conversation of values, you're in the conversation of ranking things and of wrestling with the ranking of things. And I'm not saying it's fixed. It's not fixed. Things go up and down. You know, even the value of great works of art go up and down. Why? Because it's a constant conversation of what's valuable. Now, let's take it out of that world for a moment and just say, that's the kind of thing we have to do as a community, is keep wrestling with being of worth in the world. What kinds of things make us and other people worth something in the world? Or what kind of world is worth living in? Maybe that's the ultimate question. And that's where I think our values can help at least point a finger or point the way. What kind of world is worth living in? And what responsibility might we have to co-create such a thing? All right. We're going to do a couple things here. Let's talk about common humanity. And I'd like to do a little experiment. I'm going to need Patty's help here in a second. I first want to hand over the today's talk to all of you in the following way. just to be clear about the hierarchy here, all right? I want to ask you a question. I want you to talk with your neighbor and or write, if you still carry pens, or you can write on your phone, I suppose. I want you to struggle with this particular question, and I'll give you several versions of it so you see where I'm coming from. Here's a simple one. What do we mean by common humanity? I don't mean just like go on the website and read the definition. What do you think common humanity means? Here's another way of putting it. What do we have in common? Really, what kinds of things ought we to be emphasizing that connects us? So in Bob's meditation, he mentioned passing two political signs on the way in. And then he had this line. He said, I'm wondering now, if we don't have more in common than we think. So I'm saying, what? What do we have in common? And let's step out of that for a moment and just say, right now we live in a political environment, and I think in a mass marketing environment that is not emphasizing what we have in common. Would you agree with that? It's emphasizing what we do not have in common. So it's actually more challenging to do right now than we might think. So what we're going to do is Patty's going to play a little music, and you're going to come up with a list. And then you're going to agree, or you're going to say to the person next to you, you do this. You're going to agree to share with me things that you came up with. What do you mean by common humanity, is one way of putting it. What kinds of things do we actually have in common that you think are worth emphasizing? And we'll see what kind of list we can generate. I got a head start, so I have a list, but I might add to it in the next few minutes. And then we'll sort of regroup and hear from each of you. Sound fair? Thank you. All right. Oh, this is great. Now you're not going to want to listen to anything else. So, all right, you're going to commit to this right now with full courage, and you're going to nominate somebody, and they're going to stand up and take their mask off if they feel comfortable with, so I can hear. But if they, it's okay. If not, but definitely stand up and read me a couple of things that came out of your time. And I'll repeat them back so everyone can hear. What you got? What you come up with? Okay, global sympathy and empathy. Okay. What else?
We started with basic needs. That one needs food and shelter and to feel to be safe, not to be attacked.
Okay, so food, shelter, safety, like Maslow, sort of hierarchy of needs. Excellent. Yeah, Tom.
We're all going to die.
Yes, we're all going to die. My favorite theme. Thank you. Thank you. We are all going to die. And I'm so glad. It warmed my heart. Yes.
And when we all die, we all hope that the next generation will carry on in a better way than we did.
Okay, so when we die, we hope the next generation will carry on in a certain way. And I might just add to this, because it's occurring to me, one of the things we share in common, as far as I know, from anthropology and archaeology, is that we are concerned about the funeral. We bury or not always bury, but there are funeral rites. So not only do we know we're going to die, we turn our attention to it in a certain way. And we honor it in a certain way. And that's kind of universal, but that's just something that's occurred to me now. Yes?
I'll pick three of our many brilliant.
Okay, so this is from the brilliant list. Everyone else was just minor.
We're all concerned with the future.
Okay. Okay, so we're dependent on the earth, air, water. We all desire empathy. And what was the first one?
Future.
We think about the future. We're imaginative creatures, and we wonder what's going to happen. Excellent, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you repeat those? I want to hear them again.
Sure. Strive for a moral center.
Okay. Strive for a moral center. Okay, got it. Yes.
Okay. Vision for what we'd like the world to be.
Mm-hmm.
And live in a world of senses, attuned to our senses.
Okay. All right. And we could add, not only do we live in a world attuned to our senses, but we carry a certain kind of consciousness around them. We're aware that we're attuned to a world of senses. It's not just pure instinctual. Okay, yeah, very interesting. Anything else? Oh, what's happening here? Oh, yes, someone from online. Now I need my glasses. All right. Well, point to what you had in mind here. Okay, yeah. We are all trying to survive or grow or to heal. To survive, to grow, or to heal. All right. We want belonging, okay, to be embraced and accepted. I guess that's a definition of belonging. To error is human. Okay. I actually have that. There were a few more on there. I had this on my list that we all have wounds. We all have wounds. Now, I have a present wound where I cut off the end of my finger. But there are those kinds of wounds. And then there are, you know, the wounds of the psyche, we could say. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a sense of loneliness. We do. Go out into your heart as onto a vast plain, and there the immense loneliness begins. That's Rilke. Yes. Okay, yeah, please. Go ahead. The right or the freedom to be or live. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got core needs again. We've heard that one. Give me the thinking one again. Say that one more time.
The freedom to feel and think.
Freedom to feel and think. Okay.
Adam.
Yeah, go ahead. Adam, you're up. Yeah. Okay. 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 So if I got the question right, it was something like, all right, other animals also display social belonging and even care, like in the case of elephants, concern for the dead. And I think that's also true with whales. So what makes the human expression of that uniquely human, something like that? Or how does that make us different from the animal kingdom, although we're part of the animal kingdom? So it's an interesting question. I'm not going to bite on it right now, but good question. Yes. Okay, wit and humor. Thank you. Like, and also my favorite kind of humor is things like we're all gonna die, you know, because that is like true and also very funny. Yes, Beth, you were gonna say something. Okay, we crave belonging. Ellie.
Very simple.
Okay, that made my list. We love.
And it's always expressed
in the mother's love, too. Okay, thank you.
I think we're inherently curious.
Okay, we're inherently curious. What do you mean by that? I'm just kidding. That was nice. Okay, yes, please.
We all leave a footprint.
Not only do we all leave an impact or a footprint, we're conscious of it. So I'm emphasizing consciousness. Everything leaves an imprint. There's a particular quality to human consciousness, I think, that can be aware of such a thing, is aware of such a thing, but can maybe be more aware of such a thing. Okay, I think we should probably pause here. Can you already feel, just by turning attention to things that we have in common, that the list is long and generous and good, and we don't talk like this very often? Really, we don't. We don't. And also, the broader culture does not talk like this very often. We forget the most basic things here that you came up with. We tend toward, it's like bad news sticks like Velcro, you know, and it's like, there's got to be a problem, and we do not have things in common, and what are our differences, and then we'll get to diversity, which involves differences, down the road next month. But for the time being, can you feel, I think, I felt a kind of certain beauty to what was surfacing, that maybe we have some responsibility in 2022 to be people who speak like this in the world and remind one another that everything that you said seems true. And the list could get longer. My list is pretty long. And I want to say one other thing. Let me end with two stories and then we'll hear some music. I was thinking about my daughter's in culinary school, and my son, I think, wants to go to college. And he was sort of saying, what's college like? And, you know, and I was telling him a bit about it. And he met my roommate in college this summer, because he lives in North Dakota. And we stopped by on the way when we went out to Yellowstone last summer. And it struck me, because one of the things I was saying is that I met some of my best friends my entire life. And what is amazing about that is how malleable and flexible we are as human beings. When I showed up as a freshman in college in Virginia, I was put in a room with a guy named Joe from Fargo, North Dakota. And he came from like this Pentecostal Christian background, which I was very suspicious of, sort of like laying on hands and healing and things like this. Things that I would be like, no, I don't even want to hear about this. And you would think, what in the world would we have in common? But just by living together, I would still call him one of my best friends. And I want him to meet my kids, and I want my kids to meet his kids. And how is that the case? Randomly, we were put in a room together. So it's in some ways, it's a testimony to we do, in fact, have more in common than we think we do. When I cut my finger off in a wood splitter, I just like saying that, and I went to the ER, people treated me with dignity and respect and took care of me, and they knew absolutely nothing about me in the middle of a pandemic when hospitals are full. Where does that come from? Where does that seed of common humanity come from? I don't know the answer to that, but its expression is maybe more common than we think it is, than we're led to think by, you know, all the bad news we always get. When in fact, the truth is, much of the time, we experience a kind of commonness, a kind of shared connection with our fellow human beings. And I didn't say to the ER doc, I would like to know your political opinions. Where do you stand on whatever? You know, I didn't care. I just said, please keep numbing it. That's all I cared about. Okay? And he would say, does it still hurt? Yes, it still hurts. So maybe that's a good place to end. I just wanted to start stirring the cauldron here about who we are as a community, why we have values, what these values are, and maybe what common humanity might bring up for us in 2022. Thanks for listening.